Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her Son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to this new episode on Fatima. And we will be titling it Something Has Happened There, although some people think that it was all fabricated by the church at that time because of the situation. Of course, those who think that it was fabricated, they have to be, it refers to Portugal, and that's already a contradiction in terms there, because Fatima refers very little to Portugal and a lot to Europe and to the world, and not for a particular time, but for a much wider time that was the whole 20th century. So, but those who think that Fatima was fabricated, they think that it was fabricated against republicanism and atheism, Portuguese atheism and Masonry. Because in 1910, the King of Portugal was killed, and so the republicans took power, and Portugal became a republic, but this republic in the first years, it was very atheistic, and then in the late years, it became fascist with at the time of Mussolini and the Second World War, it became fascist, and up to 1974, it was fascist. So this republic, but in the beginning, was very atheistic, and so these people think that it was a reaction of the church against it, so that they fabricated Fatima. Well, this doesn't hold up. First, because church has nothing to hide, and as far as Fatima, the church has not hidden anything. You can go to the internet and you can find the critical documentation of Fatima. So in Portuguese, you find it in Portuguese because all documents are in Portuguese, the letters, what Lucia wrote, her handwriting, and what the parish priests of that time, the dialogues, the interviews that they did, the priests, the parish priest, and a canonical also for Migão, the main one that interrogated the kids. So everything is there. With the inconsistencies of the kids, with things that don't really hold up, but there is nothing to hide. Everything is there, and it's no secret that the parish priest of Fatima was against it right from the beginning. So it's not that it was the church was fabricating it. How come? You know, the Catholic Church is always very united, one in one purpose. So you cannot have part of the church fabricating it and another part of the church not fabricating it, like the parish priest of Fatima, never believing in Fatima himself. And he was one of the main interrogators of the kids. So how can you have that? It doesn't hold up. And then, so he never believed in it. Then he defended himself because he said that he did believe that, but he was keeping a low profile. He said that because he was accused of helping the authorities to detain the kids. He was the one who called the kids to talk with them, and then the authorities came and took them away. So he was accused of that. And so because he was accused of that, he defended himself that he was trying to keep a low profile because of the situation in Portugal, where the church and the practice of religions was forbidden outside the churches, the situation that I already told you about. But the facts are there. He never believed in Fatima. And another unbeliever of Fatima is from the family of the little kids, is the mother of Lucia. She never believed herself when Lucia, and worse still, when Lucia told her that the Blessed Mother asked her to go to school, then she broke in laughter. Oh no. She was a very religious person, this mother of Lucia. She was the catechist of the church, and she was illiterate. She knew how to write and how to read. She was a very important person in that Christian community, and yet she broke into laughter when her daughter told her that the Blessed Mother told her that she should go to school. And indeed, Lucia went to school because Lucia was to stay. Instead, Francisco and Jacinta were to depart to heaven very soon. So that's one of the reasons that she never believed. And she was so strong a believer that even being cured from a disease, because he asked the sisters, asked Lucia, well, our mother is sick. If the Blessed Mother appears to you, why don't you ask her to cure our mother? And indeed, I'm going to ask her, Lucia said. And she went to Cova d'Eiria, and she did the first trip on her knees, which is around 500 meters, walking on the knees. The trail is still there. You can do that yourself. And many people, you'll see when you go to Fatima, you'll see many people doing that trail on their knees, going to the chapel, the place of the apparitions. And that trail was done by Lucia the first time. She was the one who initiated. And indeed, her mother was cured. And after that, well, our Blessed Mother cured me, but I don't know. I still don't believe. I don't know why. You see, that's the thing. That's a fact. The church itself was very indifferent towards the apparitions, and the Patriarch of Lisbon even forbade people to go to Fatima. So, you see, the church was against it. As usually, the church is always against it. In Lourdes, the church was against it until the facts win the church. In Lourdes, church was against. In Guadalupe, the church was against, and the bishop needed a proof. So that's how the church deals with it, and that's how the church is dealing with Medjugorje. Well, I know Father Livio is very much in favor of Medjugorje, but the church itself, you better be wrong with the church than right with a single person. The church has not approved it, and 40 years have gone by. That never happened before. If they are truthful, the apparitions, they take a couple of years to be approved, but 40 years and not yet approved, that means something. So in case of Lourdes and Guadalupe, you see very soon they were approved, and in case of Fatima, of course, there is the hostility of the church and the indifference and even going against it of the church in the beginning. But then we see the first Mass was celebrated in 1921. So things, the facts related to 1917, as you know, when the first Mass was celebrated in 19, 21. And also there is also a theological factor that for some people in the church was those people that don't really read the Bible because the Spirit blows whatever he pleases, that the Spirit is not just a copyright of the popes or a copyright of the bishops or a copyright of the clergy in general. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it's not a copyright of anybody because nobody can hold it, nobody can limit it. So the Holy Spirit can influence, can guide, can inspire anybody. But there were those that, how come that the Blessed Mother appears to lay people and kids, and so they were hard to believe. For them, they should be the Blessed Mother should appear only to monks and nuns and bishops and so forth. So they were they had a hard time to accept that too. Certain people in the church, those who don't really read and understand the Bible, that says the Spirit blows wherever it pleases, and you cannot limit the Holy Spirit. And then, worse still, this little Lucia, 10 years old, holding a secret that she would tell nobody, and she was so adamant about it that she even said, "No power on earth can force me to tell this secret." Oh, that's strong, coming from a little kid. Even if she was threatened with being fried alive, she was threatened, and the other two, they were all threatened to be fried alive. We'll talk about that much later in the program. And yet she said, "No power on earth can force me to tell this secret, because our Blessed Mother told me to tell no one." And so she put the secret into an envelope that was sent straight to the Vatican. So right from the beginning, this is very providential. You see how our Blessed Mother works through Lucia. Very providential in involving the Pope right from the beginning. The Pope was involved in Fatima, even if the Pope did not want to be involved. And of course, there is a Pope of Fatima. There is a Pope that relates to Fatima. The Pope, maybe one of the most prominent popes of the 20th century, Pope John Paul II, he didn't want to be involved in Fatima. As a matter of fact, years have passed and he didn't accept invitation to come to Fatima. It was our Blessed Mother that grabbed him by his sleeves. And that thing happened in a 13th of May in St. Peter's Square. He was shot, and for a couple of millimeters, the bullet did not enter any main artery, and he would have died right there in place. There wouldn't be any time to reach to the hospital. And so he thinks that our Blessed Mother saved him, and indeed he was, as I say many times, the fourth shepherd, the three shepherds, and the fourth one, that is the Pope, that is the one concerned with the secret. As a matter of fact, he was the only pope that did not read the secret. He was not even curious about the secret. So he was not a believer. Although he was a very devoted to our Blessed Mother, he was not really a believer in Fatima. And yet, that day, when after his surgery in the hospital, he asked for that famous envelope. And he opened it, and he read it, and he understood that that secret was about him. Unlike John the 23rd said, that also read the secret and said, "This is not going to happen in my pontificate." And all the other popes have read it from Pius XII, But they all thought that it wouldn't be had nothing to do with them, and they were right. It had to do with John Paul II. And look, I can tell you the way I see it now, you know, outside this 20th century, John Paul II was very important, you can see it politically, to bring down the Soviet Union. Nobody can deny that. Nobody will. We will speak about that much later, but nobody can deny it, that the Pope John Paul II was very providential to bring down the Soviet Union. So he was being used by Our Lady of Fatima to do away, not with communism, I must say it and repeat it, I will repeat it forever and ever, but with militant atheism, that once the Soviet Union was stopped into being, then militant atheism also stopped. So as we were saying about the Pope that was engaged, maybe against his will in Fatima, but that was what our Blessed Mother wanted. And then because there was a task for the Pope about Fatima, one of the things that our Blessed Mother asked the kids is to tell the Pope that he has to consecrate Russia to my sacred heart, to my Immaculate Heart, Sacred Heart of Jesus, Immaculate Heart of Mary. And that was a difficult thing to do, you know, because that involves diplomats, and so popes were consecrating Russia privately and in a hidden way. And but Lucia was saying, well, our Blessed Mother told me that the consecration has not been done yet, you see. And I think that the Popes got a bit fed up with this seer, Lucia, that was already a sister, a Carmelite sister. And then she kept asking, well, Russia has to be consecrated to my Immaculate Heart. And indeed, when it was consecrated, then the conversion followed. Of course, not really conversion, because Russia has been always Christian, and militant atheism never took a hold in Russia as it took in China and is still there, because China was already atheistic anyway before the Bolshevik Revolution, before the Communist Revolution, because the religion of China, Buddhism is an atheistic spirituality. This is not my saying, was Jean-Paul II saying. Buddhism is indeed, classic Buddhism is an atheistic spirituality. There is no God in classic Buddhism. So that was very easy, was already in the culture, atheism in China. So that's why militant atheism is still there. It's still there and China still enforces it. And there is no freedom of religion in China. But this militant atheism, this enforced atheism in African countries and even in Russia never worked out. After a few years, it came out and so Russia converted. That was one of the things of Fatima. And so there are some these people that don't agree with Fatima and that Fatima was fabricated. They go into this documentation of Fatima that is there in the internet in Portuguese, and they find some inconsistencies, and base their arguments in those inconsistencies. Well, if you want to find inconsistencies, you find them in the Bible itself. As I say always, there is the Word of God is in the Bible, like there is sand, there is gold in the sand of the river. Not all the sand of the river is gold. You have to sieve it, to look for it, but it's there. Same Word of God there. Bible is full of many things, even awful things, cruel things. But because the Bible is the encounter between man and God, and so the Bible depicts God as much as it depicts man, the real man with the real God. So you have to look for the gold in the Bible, and the same thing, you take the whole documentation about Fatima, you will find some inconsistencies, but you cannot throw away the baby with the water of the bath. And some inconsistencies are like lead all souls to heaven, especially those who most need. That the original Portuguese ends like here. You have to understand that these are kids. These are kids. They heard the prayer from our Blessed Mother. They heard it that way. They don't understand many of the things that they heard, but thanks to Lucia, she had an elephant memory. She remembers textually all the words. That's why she was the one to remain. And so, she doesn't understand, you know. It's it's a bad comparison, but like you have a parrot can speak, but he doesn't know what's speaking. So Lucia heard many things from our Blessed Mother, like the name Russia, and she thought that it was a bad woman because all words that end in A in Portuguese, they are feminine words. So Russia, oh, that must be a prostitute, a bad woman. That's what she did. She thought it was. So you see, Lucia hears the things but doesn't understand them. She's not a theologian. She doesn't know how to write and how to read. So these lead all souls to heaven, especially those who most need of thy mercy. This is an adding in all languages, thy mercy. But in Portuguese, we still use the prayer that doesn't make sense, even in Portuguese. And in Portugal, I've said it many times. This prayer doesn't make sense unless you put thy mercy, because those that are really, really, you know, there is bad people, there is good people, very good people, medium people, and evil people, and very evil people. Of course, those that are really evil people, they need more mercy from God than those that are very, very, very good. Let us say, comparing St. Francis of Assisi was a very holy man. He needs little mercy of God. Hitler needs a lot of mercy Because more is to be forgiven of Hitler, less is to be forgiven of St. Francis of Assisi, because he sins little, little is forgiven. But if he sins great, like Hitler, then he needs a lot of mercy of God. So that's one inconsistency. Another one is that they pray for the conversion of sinners. It looks like they are putting themselves outside being a sinners, but they don't really, because they see themselves as sinners too, these three little kids, and they were very observant of people's behavior to catch them in sins, like Jacinta with her mother. Jacinta caught her mother lying more than once, and Jacinta told her mother, look, lying is ugly, it's a sin. And her mother gave her a slap her on the face, but she said that lying is a sin, is very ugly. And Francisco too, well, your aunt is away, why don't you take the sheep to her play, to her fields? And Francisco told his mother, no, the mother of Jacinta, they were brothers and sisters, and so how come that my own mother is teaching me how to steal? My own mother is teaching me how to steal. Yeah, Francisco told her. So you see, they were very, very, they didn't want to sin, and the others would not sin in their presence. They were saying the rosary in a very lazy way. They were just saying the Holy Mary so that they would finish it up very soon and then start playing. That's what kids do. So they know that they had to say the rosary, but they would say Hail Mary, Holy Mary, and that's it. Amen. So they would finish it up very, very soon. So there you have all these inconsistencies, these sins, and they did understand that they were sins, so they repent from them. They start to say the rosary as it should be said, and Francisco spend the rest of his life, of his short life, saying the rosary with the other two, but sometimes alone he would say many rosaries during the day. He was a contemplative kid, as we told you before. Now, there is also an inconsistency that Lucia told the people that the war would stop 13th of October, 17, the First World War. It indeed was a mistake, because the war stopped in 1918, the following year. But you can understand these mistakes. But even Jesus was mistaken about the end of the world, about the coming of the Son of Man, the second coming. Even St. Paul was mistaken, and so we do away with all Christianity because there is a mistake there? No. And why is the mistake? Because Lucia had brothers and sisters, and that brother, and one brother was fighting in the First World War, and of course she wanted him to come. And when she was asking for the Blessed Mother for a miracle all the time, right from the second apparition till the end, and she thought, you know, his wish fulfillment, she thought that the miracle would be what's the biggest problem that the world is experiencing now? It's the First World War. So she thought that peace would be signed on the 13th of October, 1917. So that was her wish. And so she thought that would be the miracle. There was indeed a miracle, but that was not a miracle. It was a miracle for everybody to see the miracle of the sun. So that was, but we don't throw away Fatima because of these, and probably there will be other inconsistencies. Something must have happened to change, something must have happened to change the life of these three kids. to change the life of their families, to change Portugal, to change the whole world that was divided between capitalism and communism, capitalism being religious and communism being atheistic. And something must have happened to stop these. And this was, as I will tell you later, this was all Fatima doing. This was all Fatima doing. You cannot explain it any other way. He said, you know, that there was another person that was very important in 20th century to bring down the Soviet Union, and that is Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan visited Portugal and visited Fatima. Of course, he was very friendly with Pope John Paul II. And Ronald Reagan said in Portugal that the world is not changed by presidents, by kings, queens, is changed by the prayer of these three little kids. He mentioned them. Of course, he knew all the doings of our Blessed Mother. So this was something must have happened, and this expression doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Hans Küng, that was a great theologian in 20th century. On the 80s, he wrote two big books, which I read because I was studying theology in the 80s. And those books, one is Does God Exist? That's fundamental theology. And the other book is To Be Christian. Unfortunately, because a small book that he wrote at the time of Paul VI, John Paul II took the cathedra away from him, forbidding him to teach, and that was not fair. Not fair. I didn't agree with it. I don't agree with it still. Because it was the only bestseller that we have in the world. And that little booklet that he wrote about the Pope being fallible or not, it was not written in the time of John Paul II, but in the time of Paul VI. So the whole thing boils down to, was it an apparition or was it a vision? Well, I very much compare the apparitions of Fatima, which I believe they are apparitions, not visions. There are visions within the apparition. The last apparition, the miracle of the sun, there are visions because the kids see whilst our Blessed Mother is still there appearing, they see Our Lady of Mount Carmel. They see Our Lady of Sorrow. They see Saint Joseph. They see both Jesus, adult Jesus, and little Jesus. So how can these things be together? Well, okay, those are visions. But those visions happen during an apparition. And why is it apparition? Because they were not counting on, they were not waiting for it. A vision, somehow you provoke it. Apparitions, you don't provoke them, because visions are, all your doings is, you know, an arrow from earth to heaven. Apparitions is an arrow from heaven to earth. Apparitions, you don't provoke them, and those who see those apparitions are chosen by God, but they are not holy people. Whilst in the visions, those that have the beatific vision, see our Blessed Mother or see Jesus, those are holy. Those are the pure of God will see. The Beatitude says the pure of God will see. The pure of heart will see God. The pure of heart will see God. So that's a vision. But the resurrection was an apparition, was not a vision, because the disciples were already returned to their previous lives. They were not counting, they were not expecting it. it was all done. The Emmaus disciples, they were going back to their village. Everything was finished. And so this is an apparition. This is an apparition. A vision is quite different. So I believe, although I know there is a lot of debate between theologians, saying some say that Fatima was a vision. Fatima was not a vision. Indeed, it was an apparition.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.